Paige, what do you think of the Thunder Ginger? Have you not been on newsok.com?
Sorry.
Why didn't we run a picture of it in the newspaper?
I was wondering that same thing.
Why didn't we run it big? I don't think
the resolution would have been very good.
All we needed to do was run a picture. So.
Because the screenshot I took wasn't of good resolution. I don't think the resolution would have been very good.
Why didn't you put some gloves on and go up to Thunderville and grab somebody influential? These two fingers right here, grab them right by the nostrils and say, listen, these are coming out when we got a picture in transit to A News OK.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn. We are back in the studio after almost about it's been approximately a month since we've done a podcast. I think the last one we did was August 11th when the schedule came out. Changes have happened since then. We are short a Thunder Buddy. Brett Dawson has moved on to a pasture. I don't know if it's greener. I don't know if it's browner, whatever it is, but it's a pasture, and I wish Brett all the luck in his future endeavors. With me in the studio today, Barry Trammell and Adam Kemp of NewsOK.com and The Oklahoman.
Hello.
Happy offseason, Eric the Red.
Happy offseason. People always come up to me and they ask me if I'm excited for the season to start. And
they must not realize how many days you actually work throughout the year.
Right. It's like, yeah, I'm excited, but at the same time, no, I'm not excited because I'm never going to see my dog again, basically. Like, I'm going to run to my apartment. I'm going to see the dog. I'm going to walk the dog. I'm going to put the dog back, and I'm going to leave and go do Thunder things. It's kind of depressing in that regard.
It's a tragedy in a way.
The summers are the best for me and my dog because we get to do all the things we don't do during the season. Just lounge around, watch bad TV, and snore.
What's your dog's name?
Bobby.
Bobby.
Bobby, that's a solid name
it's
for
a good dog name. Yeah. I have three dogs.
And what are their names?
They are all old lady names. May, Bee, and Ida.
Oh, boy.
Need to get a fourth one. Then you can have Golden Girls.
I have too many dogs, but my wife's a veterinarian, it kind of plays. So,
yeah, but I am looking forward to the season. Every season's fun in the beginning because it's kind of this, like with any sport, there's this air of like there's endless possibilities for everybody, except if you're like a bad team. Obviously, the Thunder is a good team, so you know they could win 50 games or they could be a better team than last year because they're going to be playing a different style. Supposedly, we shall see. But there's optimism. You know, there's optimism going into this Thunder season because they're going to have a guy like Dennis Schroeder, who we will talk about later. I've got a few thoughts on that I've come across in the past day or two on Dennis Schroeder that I'll share with the podcast. But, you know, also another thing about the Thunder is they're going to have a nice new jersey this year. I think that's the big takeaway from this week. No matter what else happens this week, I think the biggest takeaway is – last year, they came out with a pretty horrendous city uniform.
You didn't like the city uniforms?
I didn't like the gray city. I thought that they could have done better. It was almost like...
I didn't like them either.
It was almost like there was a deadline, and then they realized, oh, man, we gotta have something
no,
in.
No, that wasn't it at all. This was just somebody trying to be cute. Anybody that would scrap the oranges for the grays is just... It's a power play. It's just like somebody trying to make the will of the people submit. That's what it was. It's a total power play.
Now, Barry, you love Oklahoma State's old gray jerseys, but you disliked these city
on
jerseys.
Football. And football. Football.
Why is that?
I really like OSU's gray pants.
Okay.
Gray, white, gray is my favorite at OSU.
Gotcha.
And I don't call it gray. It's almost like a
gunmetal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that. That's a car
not quite,
color.
Not quite pewter, but in that
sure.
in that family of tones.
Like a muted gunmetal.
I feel like gunmetal's become the trendy way that's to describe
cheek,
gray.
That's the cheek thing.
It's
cheek
just
thing,
gray, y'all. That's all it is.
Yeah. And it look I like the gray at OSU because when they sweat you can't even tell. It's just like, oh, yeah. Oh, that guy's not sweaty. Yeah. No, he's dripping.
Just a darker gray.
Yeah, it's just odd. But no, the Red Earth, it's a nonprofit. They leaked some photos today, or they were provided with some yesterday on Monday, where they're showing off these new Thunder City uniforms, and it's just such a stark contrast from what you got, this kind of drab gray that we saw last year. Now you've got the turquoise involved. You've got the Native American theme.
Yeah.
You know, over the past year, a lot of people have said that the Thunder should have went with a Native American theme to kind of pay homage to, you know, the Native Americans that have been in Oklahoma for however long, and it would be more in tune with the community, and that's what the city jerseys were supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about the community, and it was supposed to, all 30 NBA teams are supposed to kind of have some kind of community element. What the community element was in the gray ones, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't really know what they were doing there, but this screams Oklahoma. Like, this screams, and it makes it clear and obvious that this is something that represents the Thunder and the region that they're in.
I'm not crazy about the one viewing I've seen, but I'm willing to have an open mind. Looks a little blocky to me. The letter's a little blocky.
I kind of like that's the one part about it that I really, on first look, did really like. I don't know why. It's just something about how that OKC kind of flows together in that block text. I think it looks kind of cool, as well as different from any OKC I've seen so far, obviously, and different from any other jerseys I can think of right now. So the turquoise is very cool, I think, and stands out a lot. Kind of the design around the waistband I thought was also pretty neat. So of the Thunder's jerseys, which I'm not the biggest fan of overall, I think it's a solid effort. So
yeah, like some of the blocking, it looks like something you'd see almost in like the Paseo district or something, like pottery that somebody would make that they'd have in the Paseo or something like that. But it's just so much. I think it's such a better upgrade, mm-hmm. or such an upgrade over last year's. And I like when a team takes a drastic jump away from what they traditionally do. And I think the Thunder has been so careful not to, you know, take risks with their uniforms or their stylings, that I think that this is cool that they're doing that. And frankly, these look a little bit like what Oklahoma State did in preseason.
Yeah, they have the same
last year.
Yeah, Native American themed jerseys. So
yeah. I think it's a good move. I think it's going to look great on the players, and I think it's going to be one that they're going to wear more often than the ones that they had last year. I think the Thunder now has a collection of four jerseys because they're bringing back the statement jersey too.
Right.
I think they've got a collection of four jerseys that are going to be among some of the best in the league.
I feel like that statement jersey turned into one the players like to wear the most.
Yeah, they did.
Did they say that?
Well, you could just tell.
Yeah.
Like, because they can pick which ones they wear, right, basically, and they would pick the statement jersey more often than not because the guys just look fantastic in it.
Are the white ones gone with the sleeves?
I think all sleeves are gone, right? League-wide?
Yeah.
I don't know if
that was an Adidas thing.
Yeah.
So they're all gone. Basically, Nike's going to, like, rotate the city jersey every year for the next 8 years, so this jersey's going to be gone, unfortunately, next year. Maybe they bring back the orange. I'm not sure, but
different version of it, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Be interesting.
But I like it. I think it's a good step. I think it's something, you know, people are obviously going to buy, and that's the whole point of it, just to buy jerseys.
Right.
Well, any word on which one they're going to wear them? What are they going to make the staple home? Because you can wear whatever you want to at home. Are they going to stay with the whites as their primary home?
I'm not sure. Like, for the most part, they went with white last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every now and then they did the blue because basically it just doesn't matter anymore. But
I don't like that. Do you like that? To me, it's it's total rebellion. It's wardrobe rebellion
against like sports wardrobes.
It's a tear down of society. I mean, here's what I like to do. I like to flip channels.
You like to know who's home?
I want to know who's playing. Who's the home squad? Who's home squad?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the blue jersey has Oklahoma City on it, correct?
That's never made sense to me, right? Because the blue jersey, I believe you're
Because when you're right. on the road, typically, and I might be thinking of baseball, but when you're on the road, your jersey typically says the city you're mm-hmm. from. And then when you're at home, it'll have some home emblem or it'll just say your mascot.
Right.
So it's okay. It's where it ought to be.
I think the white jersey is Thunder. And then the blue jersey has Oklahoma City. So it's kind of like redundant when you're wearing the Oklahoma City jersey in Oklahoma City because you're supposed to be an identifier when you're on the road. But I don't really care. I think the jerseys look fine. I think their home and road jerseys look fine. The ones that I was really wondering about were these new ones that Nike came out with. The statement just off the rip looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And then this one that they're coming out with is going to look great too. So that's really, let me see if I can look this up.
Jersey talk. It's for sure the off season.
It's, yeah, it's a, of course, they're going to wear whatever Russ wants them to wear. So that's right. That's what they're going to do.
That's right.
Why don't they, why doesn't Nike turn to Russell Westbrook and be like, hey, you're in fashion, you're in design. Well, make us a jersey. What would happen?
I feel like it would be...
They wear denim cutoff jerseys.
Yeah, or they'd have a... You know, they'd be wearing ponchos or...
I feel like it would be more understated than you'd think. I feel like it would be...
Sleek.
I feel like it would be sleek and low-key and stylish as opposed to just wild.
I kind
wild.
Of agree. I think it would look good.
So. Now, it would be cool if it came out in like a denim pattern or something that looked like it was out of the Derelict campaign or something. But I don't think that's going to happen. There's not a ton to talk about in the off season, but I mean, you know, in the next couple of weeks we'll get more into the season and stuff, and we'll start looking at, we'll start doing season preview things like that, and we touched on that a little bit, but I wanted to kind of touch on a video I saw.
Eric's been in the film room.
I got a problem. I got a little bit of an issue with this video, and I'm going to show it to you guys, and I want you all to tell me your thoughts on this video, and actually. I don't know if I'm going to be able to play it.
This will be my first time seeing it.
So. I don't know if I'm going to be able to play it because I think my Wi-Fi is acting funny right now in the building.
I think you can describe it.
Okay. Basically, this video is a game between Germany and Turkey, and they're playing in some offset European tournament. And Dennis Schroeder's in the game. And Dennis Schroeder scored 32 points and had 14 assists for Germany in this game. Against Turkey, and they lost. Sorry, Dennis Schroeder. As you all know, Dennis Schroeder is going to be the new acquisition to the Thunder. He was part of the Carmelo Anthony trade. And there are high hopes that Dennis Schroeder can come in and help the Thunder in terms of their offense, you know, becoming one of the key cogs and maybe even finish some games. You know, if you're making $15 million, you'd imagine a guy would finish some games. Some people might have a problem with that. But I think he's going to be on the floor, whether
or
not
he's going to have
people,
to be.
whether people like it or not. I think Dennis Schroeder's going to be out there a good bit. He's going to be out there with Russell Westbrook too. So, with that being said, I pull up this video, which I'm about to pull up. Great podcasting, by the way.
Didn't you say he shot what from three in that?
4 of 9,
which is
a positive
thing.
That's a positive.
That's a positive.
But. When I pull up the video, I think you all will understand why I'm a little miffed by this.
Miffed.
Take a look. Behold, Dennis Schroeder hitting three-pointers in the eye of the Turkish representatives.
He's looking good. He's looking good.
Yeah. Yeah. Remind you of anybody?
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's even got, like, the deep arcing... three ball on his pull-ups. So.
He's got that. And I couldn't even see his face, but it's clear that he's got the eyes of a guy that could not be dissuaded from shooting under threat of bayonet.
Doesn't the Thunder already have one of those?
They have one of those. You can never have enough, though. You can never have enough.
So I mean, by the way, great work by Mike Schmitz of ESPN for putting out these videos. He's one of the ESPN's premier scouts, and his point was, you know, Schroeder is a career 32.1% three-point shooter. He's only made 4 threes one time in 67 games last year with the Hawks. That's his point. It's a positive if Dennis Schroeder is hitting threes. My problem is he's taking the same kinds of threes that Russell Westbrook takes, and we all know how we feel about Russell Westbrook taking the types of threes that he takes. Look, I have serious concerns about this working. Serious concerns.
Yeah.
I've said this to you, Adam, and I think I've said this before on the podcast with Brett. Do I think the Thunder will be a better team this season? I do. I do think they're going to be a better team. I don't think their record's going to show it. I think that because the West is so deep, and because I don't think that they're better in the areas they need to be in to be a championship contender, I think they can be a better team and still not be like one of the elite teams in the West.
I think the biggest key is going to be how do you play those two together? Yeah. You know, two point guards, basically. Schroeder is a pick and roll kind of player, an elite pick and roll player, loves that style. That is Russell Westbrook's game. That's how he likes to play. How do you fit those two pieces in at the game together? Obviously, a lot of people are going to say, well, you don't. He's going to just not play when Russell's on the court and vice versa. But I don't think you pay a guy as much as you're going to pay him and have him just be on the bench for, you know, the minutes that Russell Westbrook is not on the floor.
Right. And go ahead, Barry.
They got to play together.
Yeah, they have to.
Now, whether they finish the game or not, I think, is to be determined. But they've got to play significant minutes together, or else you're relegating Dennis Schroeder to 16 minutes a game.
Yeah. And you're not putting out the strongest possible offensive lineups that you put. You're not imposing what you do best on other teams. And I'm not saying that it's going to work, but I'm also saying that you're not forcing other teams to make decisions defensively if you don't have Russell Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder on the floor together. And I also think you maximize your defensive lineups, too, when you have Dennis Schroeder and Russell Westbrook out there, too. Not because Dennis Schroeder and Russell Westbrook are great defensive players, because they're not. Dennis Schroeder's not a good defender. Russell Westbrook's not a very good defender. He just has a lot of counting stats that make him appear to be a good defender.
He's the defensive enigma.
I wouldn't even say he's an enigma so much. He just doesn't try. Like, the enigma is, why doesn't he try?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. He has all the intangibles and skills to be an all-defensive player.
But those guys are so good at getting in lanes when they're focused that you want them on the floor together with an Andre Robertson, a Paul George, and presumably Steven Adams or Jeremy Grant. You're going to have some devastating small ball lineups you can throw at people that are going to be fast and able to get out and transition. I'm just wondering if they're actually going to be a team that's going to be able to get out of the first round still. I don't know if Dennis Schroeder and Jeremy Grant getting more minutes necessarily makes them a team that still gets out of the first round.
Right.
I just think that there might be a ceiling.
I got to think that's a lot to do with, like you were saying, too, just how much stronger the West is this year. And hard to imagine that it could get stronger, but it definitely did at just about every turn. Dallas is going to be better. Memphis is going to be better. I think Lakers obviously are going to be better with LeBron. I think the Nuggets with another year, you know, with those same pieces are going to be better. So it'll be just from that standpoint alone, you've got to make sure you're winning just about every East game you play to have a better record, as well as, you know, taking care of the teams that you should beat, like they didn't do last year.
Utah's going to be better. Utah didn't even make any significant additions to their team, but they're getting back Rudy Gobert presumably for more games than they had last year.
Gobert
missed
year.
About 20-some odd games.
Yeah.
Well, it's a tough – the West is tough. You know, we want to see the Thunder win 56, 57, 58, be a number two seed. But the truth is, if they can get in the top four, that's about all we can ask for, and then you take your chances in the playoffs. So that's – the fun part is – they do have a lot of very enviable pieces. When you've got a core of Westbrook, Paul George, and Steven Adams, when you've got young players like Schroeder and Grant and Andre Robertson, when you've got veterans like Patrick Patterson and Raymond Felton, you've got the jump on, I don't know, 24 NBA teams. So you're in the upper crust. Unfortunately, the very elite is so high that it's a standard this Thunder team probably can't meet.
Yeah, and you add a guy in Dennis Schroeder who is unquestionably a good player. He's one of the best point guards in the league. He's a starting point guard. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy who averaged a hair under 20%, I mean, not 20%, 20 points per game last year. There's no question that he's an excellent basketball player. But, like, I'm going to read you this part from Rob Mahoney of Sports Illustrated, who did the top 100 players. And they're at 100 through 31 right now, and they're going to count them down this week or whatever. Dennis Schroeder comes in, I think, at, like, 80. And this part kind of just says it all for me. Like, this is emblematic of larger concerns. Talking about Schroeder putting up empty numbers in Atlanta and what it did for their bottom line. He says, we know Schroeder can beat his man off the dribble and score, but can he bring an offense to balance? Does his passing make his teammates better? Can his length and quickness translate to real defensive benefit? The jury is still out even within the league. Those are some of the same questions we have about Russell Westbrook. Like, what are we doing here? What is the Thunder doing? And I think it's like I said, it's not a bad move, not only financially, because you got off of Carmelo's number and you saved yourself a lot of money in terms of the tax, but it shifts you more toward the modern NBAs that you're not going to have a guy jab stepping in isolation and taking a bunch of bad jump shots in that range that Carmelo was doing, or slowing down the offense. But what you are going to have is a guy who plays a lot like Russell Westbrook, and I don't know if another Russell Westbrook is what this team needs.
Well, it's probably not what they need, but golly,
but it's going to be fun.
I don't need another sport coat, but if I see a good one, I might just get it.
I think an addition of another option is much better than the opposite of that, with subtracting someone.
Well, and look, the other thing to view this is this. How'd they get Dennis Schroeder? Carmelo Anthony.
That's a win.
That's a win.
That's a win.
That's a win.
That's absolutely a win.
It's actually two wins. Getting rid of Carmelo, God rest his soul, and adding Schroeder.
He's dead.
He's dead to us. He was dead to me about the fourth time in the Utah series. I saw him not even run past the foul line on either end of the court.
His body doesn't allow him to do that. No. Some of those things. He's just not physically capable of
running
point.
Past the foul line. So, but no, Schroeder's going to be a fun thing. He's going to be a fun thing. Is he going to be a finisher? I don't know. George, Adams, Westbrook, they're going to be out there.
Yeah.
I think Andre Robertson's going to be out there.
Jeremy Grant will be out there sometimes.
Well, I don't – maybe. Yeah, very well could be. Although at some point somebody's got to shoot. They need a shooter out there, so or two. So I don't know. But it's going to be a fascinating and fun thing to watch with Schroeder, how Billy Donovan's going to use him. Billy can't say that Sam Presti hasn't given him some weapons with which to work.
Big season for Billy Donovan. We'll get to him on another podcast. Since we last left the Thunder Buddies listeners, one of the Thunder staples has left the building.
A Thunder staple has left the building.
He was the fourth longest tenured Thunder until he was stretched and waived.
Three words each
for you, Barry, and for you, Adam. I want three words to describe the Kyle Singler era in Oklahoma City.
Three words?
Only get three words.
I don't know. This may just be two, depending on your definition of hyphens and things like that. Man bun hair.
Yeah, you have to think about that. Is man bun hyphenated? When hair is thrown in, when it becomes a modifier, like an adjective to hair, then it would be hyphenated. Man bun hair, that's fine.
Trader Joe's frequenter. The only time I ever saw Kyle Singler was at Trader Joe's. See him on the floor.
Whoop. Oh, boy.
What was in his basket? Did you see anything that was in his basket?
Honestly, he's a pretty basic shopper, fruits and veggies. Is what I remember seeing.
Look,
so.
Kyle Singler was in phenomenal shape.
Right.
That could not be denied.
He got back on defense. I'll say that. He got back on defense.
That's what made me think of Kyle Singler, because you mentioned Carmelo not getting past midcourt, and I was going to say that you would rather have Kyle Singler on the floor than Carmelo, because Kyle Singler gets back in transition.
I like people who get back on defense. I like it when I'm watching the Thunder game. I liked it when I was a kid playing ball in the 70s. I liked it when I was playing rec ball in the 90s. I like it when guys get back on defense.
I would agree.
Look, that was something that Kyle Singler actually did very well. He was pretty consistent in his transition defense. Basically, everybody knows by now, Kyle Singler was stretched and waived. It saved the Thunder a ton of money, about $20 million in terms of their luxury tax. He's going to be on their books for a little under $1 million for the next five seasons. That's how the stretch provision works. He had two seasons left on his deal. Basically, that gets multiplied by two, plus an additional season that gets five. The guaranteed money, which was 1 year guaranteed, gets stretched over five seasons. But basically, Kyle Singler was the fourth longest tenured guy on the team since Nick Collison retired. It was Russell Westbrook, 10 years, then Steven Adams and Andre Robertson, 5 years each, and Kyle Singler had been on the team for 4 years. Everybody else is new since then. That blew my mind.
That is crazy. It's very, very nuts. To lose Nick Collison this summer, which is, I think, the much bigger loss here that we're talking about in terms of Thunder history.
Yeah.
And then to see that he has been, around so much longer than some of these other guys. It really did. It blew my mind a little bit. So, I got to think this is probably the end of Kyle Singler's NBA career. I can't imagine anyone taking a chance on him. If it is, what a wild ride this guy went on in his NBA career. I just think from the fact that, you know, he was a McDonald's All-American, I think, coming out of high school.
Yep. National champion at Duke.
National champion at Duke. Player of the year at Duke? Am I remembering that right? Maybe ACC player of the year. I'm not sure.
We will not quote you on that.
Great career at Duke. You know, gets into the NBA. Is pretty successful with Detroit before he's traded to Thunder. And just Tanksville after that, man. It was like, what happened?
Look, I might have said this before, too, but I think there's kind of a train of thought that you could say the Thunder can't have nice things.
That's interesting. What do you mean?
I could totally see it. Okay, I do think that Carmelo Anthony is going to go to Houston and shoot better.
Sure.
Because he's going to be around Harden and Paul, and they're going to get him better shots because they're so good off the dribble.
Is he coming off the bench in Houston?
Yes. Yes.
How salty is that going to make Thunder fans?
Very. You know what? I take that back. Okay, I take that back. I do think Carmelo is going to start for Houston.
Really?
But I don't. I think D'Antoni's just going to just cut his minutes because they can't afford not to play P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker was so good for them.
Glue. I love that guy.
P.J. Tucker was so good for them in the playoffs. They can't afford to play Carmelo Anthony over P.J. Tucker because P.J. Tucker is going to guard somebody.
Maybe they will. Maybe they will, though. Maybe they will.
You're being hopeful.
Being hopeful. You saw they picked up our old pal Corey Brewer?
Are you sure they picked up Corey Brewer?
Not sure. But because there's speculation they're going to.
That was an Instagram thing. And I heard a birdie told me that they're not going to sign Corey Brewer.
They're not going to sign Corey Brewer.
A birdie told me.
Don't they need a Corey Brewer?
At least not now.
Don't they need a Corey Brewer?
Everybody, I think, needs
they a Corey Brewer. They lost Trevor Ariza.
Everybody. The Thunder needs a Corey Brewer.
I don't know if they do. They've got no space. They got no space for him.
They got a roster spot. They could wait. They could wait till later.
And bring him back in March again?
See how Robertson's doing. And if Robertson's meh, bring him back in some insurance in March.
Back to Kyle Singler.
What was I going to say about Kyle Singler?
Thunder can't have nice things.
Have nice things. Okay, that's what I was saying. I'm not saying Kyle Singler's an NBA player. I don't think he is. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Kyle Singler could go to another team and refine some of the shooting that he left in Detroit. Because he's playing a different role, or he's getting the ball in different situations.
Well, I just think it's interesting. Thunder brought him in to be Kevin Durant's backup. That was his whole reason for being included in that trade, from what I remember. Probably also to make money work a little bit, but you know.
At the time, it looked like a relative bargain.
It did.
With the salary cap.
Well, he was shooting well in Detroit.
He was about 37, 38%.
That's what people were clinging on to.
In his first couple months here, he was fine.
And everyone wanted to give him a pass for his weird hair and, you know, his goofy plays.
Ever since then, though, he hasn't been able to stay on his feet.
That's true.
People always talk about players can't stay on the court. He can't stay on his feet. He's always falling down.
And for anybody who watches him on a regular basis, like in practice or something, to me, the ball never looked like it came out of his hands the same way for any kind of consistency from shot to shot. There was always a strange rotation to the way the ball came out of his hands, or the ball didn't rotate the same way. And that to me brings up another question of the Thunder shooting. Like, what are they teaching in terms of shooting coach? Like, did they try and get with him in terms of the way the ball's coming out of his hands and his mechanics? I think he could stand to go somewhere else and actually be a decent corner three-point shooter.
I think the reputation's too harmed. I don't know who's going to.
Yeah, I just
it
don't.
It seems unlikely.
Imagine the Twitter backlash that team would get.
Well, I don't think.
That probably doesn't factor in.
And I don't know if it would be. I mean, we know how bad he's been. I don't know if the whole league fan base knows how bad he's been. He hadn't played enough. He only played 58 minutes last year.
Yeah. I wonder what it says, if anything, that the Thunder had three guys on their roster last year that aren't in the league right now.
Singler,
Brewer, Josh Eustis.
I think
two of them played a pretty heavy minutes.
Started a significant number of games.
Yeah.
I think it says that the rosters aren't all full, are they? Are the rosters all full?
Who's that?
Across the league? Yeah.
No.
I mean, sometimes people get signed in September just because they want to see who's out there before they.
You dropped one. Dakari Johnson got released, too.
Dakari Johnson's not in the league.
Dakari Johnson did get released.
But Anna Dakari's been being passed around.
Mm-hmm.
That's four. And if you count Nick Collison, he was on the roster, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Five.
So the Thunder.
That's wild.
The Thunder had five guys on their team last year.
Don't have an NBA job.
Don't have a job right now. And they won 48 games.
And we're talking about two of which were in the rotation. Some degree.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Uchis kind of got boxed out at the end. But Corey Brewer, I mean, he was a starter.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he'll probably get picked up by someone, I would imagine.
I almost freaked out just now. Woj just tweeted, Toronto is signing guard Kyle, and then I saw Collinsworth.
Kyle Collinsworth.
If we had gotten to react live, that would have been great.
Partial guarantee. I wonder if Houston or anybody like that, Houston will get like a camp invite.
I do not know.
I don't know. He may go to Europe. I don't know.
Yeah.
He seems like a worldly traveler. He might as well go to Europe.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine anywhere he goes, man. He's a good guy. And to add to that, Kyle Singler's a good guy too. You know, it's unfortunate that the basketball didn't work out for Kyle Singler, but I do think he was a good person for he was the kind of guy that Thunder liked to have around their locker room. Not a bunch of fuss. Didn't make a bunch of problems. He just came in, worked hard. He worked hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, for people who think the guy's not working, like, oh, why doesn't he practice and this and that? It's like, yo, we watch him every day. The dude practices.
He practices.
He works hard. Like, it's not like these guys are professionals. Like, he got paid an inordinate amount of money to not play games. But, I mean, Billy Donovan gave him an opportunity that first year.
Yep.
I mean, Billy Donovan loves his rotation switches and mismatches and pulling guys in and out and juggling their minutes. He gave Kyle Singler an opportunity that first year. That second year, the first 2 years he gave Kyle Singler an opportunity because he didn't have a choice after the Durant year. He had to play him.
Right.
But
Little in the 15-16 year and not as much in 16-17.
Yeah, last year just.
And off the face of the earth 17-18.
But, you know, I wish Kyle Singler the best because I thought that he was a good soldier when he was here. I mean, he didn't make any trouble or anything like that. And he kind of took the notion of him getting paid that much money to struggle and kind of have this quote-unquote albatross, which wasn't really an albatross. It was just the contract that everybody always talked about. He took that pretty lightly, and I think he had a good perspective on it. I remember asking him about it at, after one media day, and I think he had really good perspective on that. So I hope he turns out all right and enjoys himself wherever he goes. Maybe he'll go back to Detroit.
Do you think a guy like that wants to keep playing, or do you think he – might say, you know, this is probably going to be it for me?
I'm not sure. I mean, Kyle Singler is a guy who, you know, he's the kind of guy who would rent an RV, which he did, by the way. He'd rent an RV and just go travel and go in the mountains for like a month or a week. That's the kind of guy Kyle Singler is. So I could see him taking time off. I could see him maybe even joining a staff. Those Duke guys, they get on staffs pretty quickly.
They sure do.
Yeah,
that part's true.
They're gonna have to. He needs a uniform haircut, though.
Sometimes it's the Duke staff.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Duke staff or staff somewhere else, or maybe even TV. I don't know if Kyle Singer's made for TV, but he's a man of the world. I'll give you that much. We will miss you, Kyle.
Bye, Kyle.
See you later, man. Anything else before we get out of here? We talked a lot about Kyle Singler.
Well, somebody had to.
We got.
I'm fired up for the season, though. I'll just say that I'm ready.
Training camp opens in exactly 2 weeks from today.
Yeah, two.
Training camp.
How many
media
exhibition
day?
Games? Three,
four,
four.
Three at home, one on the road in Minnesota.
When they get it down to two exhibition games, I'll be very pleased.
Yeah, I want to make a slight correction to what I said earlier about being excited for the season. I'm the kind of person who doesn't get excited for something until it's like right there. Like what you were saying, Barry, when there's like two down and you're getting really close. I don't get excited for something like far in advance. I get excited when it's about to happen.
Like, you seem like the type that sits down at the home opener and is like, ah, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm going to sit down and the crowd's going to be doing their crowd thing and I'm going to be like, okay, yeah, this is
good. Like, once you're in the element.
Yeah.
You're good to go.
Right. Right now, microphone. No, I just want to go home and chill with the dog, man. I'm fine. I want to watch the NFL.
Go home to Bobby.
Yeah.
The NFL's entertaining.
The NFL's very entertaining.
Any question about that?
Not my team.
Adam?
Your team stunk Sunday. Buffalo Bills.
I told everyone before the season, historically bad offense. I'm sticking with it.
So. Nathan Peterman.
It's not great.
Justification for starting Kyle Singler.
Definitely.
We were talking about this at lunch. When he played against OSU, did you see that? Did you see anything that would give you anything?
I was actually not at the game. That was the day of the OU Ohio State game, but I watched it. Cowboys struggled to stop Peterman, so he had a pretty good game. They scored quite a few. What was it, 35 or
something like that?
They scored on OSU, but I didn't think much of him in terms of a pro prospect. I did not.
Well, we know he's not a prospect.
Nope. He's probably not an NFL quarterback. Sorry, Nate.
Dang. Oh, well, my Saints gave up 48 points to a backup quarterback at home on Sunday. So we all have some adjustments to make in week two in terms of our NFL teams.
Definitely.
Barry, how about your Cowboys?
They can't move the ball. The offensive line, he's being funny, by the way. I don't have any great allegiance to the Dallas Cowboys. But the offensive line is not as good as it has been. Dak Prescott is a farce. So they're going to struggle to score.
I said that at lunch, too. Dak's not very good.
He's not a playmaker.
He's not very good.
He's not a playmaker.
And they blame Dez for it.
Dez is laughing behind his
– he doesn't have a job, but he's laughing.
He's laughing. Somewhere
he's laughing. He's laughing.
You know what just popped to mind? And I don't know if we should get into great detail about this because we're just rambling at this point. But didn't Joseph Randall get popped for something else recently?
Yeah, bad charge. Rape.
Yeah.
He needs to go somewhere.
He's going to prison.
His life is in disarray.
He needs to go to prison.
He's going there.
I think he's going to.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. We talked about football way too long on the Thunder Buddies podcast. We will be back next week with a little bit more season preview. We'll get into some more of the details about what this team needs to do. Maybe talk about some position stuff. I wrote a story about the new assistant coach. I might talk a little bit about that too. And thanks for listening. As always, thanks for being patient with us over the past month. We're going through some changes here at the Oklahoman. We will keep you abreast of what's going on with the position to filling Brett's role. And we'll probably have somebody in close to training camp or in that range. But
man, you're optimistic.
I am optimistic, man. I gotta be. In between now and then, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Love it. Listen. Share it. Let your dog listen to it. Drop some knowledge on your basketball friends and family. And we will see you next week.